Greg, thanks so much for joining me today. I'm delighted that you could be here, particularly to talk about ADHD. As you and I know, we've talked about over the years, this has become really an interesting and more important topic for me as I've seen the impact that I've made with my patients, that I've recognized and diagnosed the condition, and I see how their lives have been changed. So I'm really excited that we can talk a little bit about, maybe share some of your pearls and experiences. And as I thought about what was important, I think for many clinicians, figure out how to really recognize patients who could have it, how to make the diagnosis and when to screen would be a great thing to hear from you, how you do it, and ways that they can incorporate it into their practice. What do you think about that?
I think it's great. And you know, I think this is a vital topic in that, you know, many of us weren't trained to think about and screen for ADHD in our daily practice. You know, I know when I was going through medical school and residency, the number of lectures I had on ADHD was zero. Zero equals zero. What I've then learned over the past years is I see people with ADHD each and every day in my clinical practice. You know, if you look at the general population, 5% of the population, 1 in 20 people have ADHD. So 1 in 20, and we know that in a primary care setting, the number goes to about 1 in 10 patients that you see in your office each and every day has ADHD. So if you think about that, we're seeing it every day, but quite often we miss it. And what I would teach to tell each of you is, you're missing it, but you know who those patients are.
You don't quite think of it. It doesn't click.
So it's the people that come in and their blood pressure is out of control because they're not consistent with their medicines. It's the people who come in and their lives are out of control because they're spending in ways that are impulsive. They're not taking care of themselves and they feel overwhelmed and stressed. They may come in with a chief complaint of, I think I have anxiety. I think I have insomnia. I feel demoralized. I feel depressed. I don't know why, but I just can't quite keep everything pulled together. Quite often, as we know, ADHD runs in families. So one of the tips in a primary care setting is, you know, tell me about your kids. Tell me about your life. Tell me about you back when you were a kid. Because this is something that usually started back in childhood, maybe wasn't diagnosed, maybe wasn't recognized, but it tends to run in people's lives. Not only does it tend to run in people's lives, it tends to control people's lives. You see that ADHD is met with increased rates of marital difficulties, increased rates of financial difficulties, and importantly in a primary care setting, people with ADHD don't take care of their basic medical health in a consistent manner. As they get older, they tend to eat impulsively. As they get older, they tend to take their medicines impulsively. So helping our patients to be more consistent, but then helping to get their brain to a place where it can become more consistent. As Greg well knows, of anything I do in my practice, and I treat depression and mood disorders and all different types of things, but ADHD is probably where I have the biggest chance to make a major difference in someone's life. You know, a mom who's been overwhelmed, maybe struggled as a kid, thought she wasn't a good student, and is now having a hard time just keeping the balls in the air. She's trying to take care of her own kids. And all of a sudden, for the first time ever, when you get that mom on the right treatment, she feels a sense of peace within her mind. I don't feel like I'm overwhelmed. I'm able to sort things out. I'm able to think through things without getting off track and getting overwhelmed. For you in primary care, I'd like to give you a take home. So this is one of those clinical pearls. It's one of the things you'll remember at the end of the day. Remember PDF. PDF is a screening tool for ADHD in your adult patients. P is procrastination. D is distractibility, and F is forgetfulness, PDF. When you see a patient that comes in and they tend to have difficulties with procrastinating, they put things off, then they can't meet their demands. When they get distracted, even though they're trying to stay focused, maybe at their job, maybe paying their bills, maybe trying to help their kids with homework, and then they tend to forget things. They run late for appointments. They tend to forget basic things they're supposed to do throughout the day. They forget to pick their kid up from school, from soccer practice, PDF. That should be a screening tool that those symptoms tend to run rampant in our adults with ADHD.
Do they tend to have all three of them, or do we need them to have all three, or is one enough to make us think about it?
Yeah, they tend to typically, an adult will have all three. And so, you know, it's been interesting since I've started using that screening tool myself, instead of thinking all 18 symptoms, but if I see somebody who tends to have problems with, I procrastinate, I get distracted, and then I tend to be overwhelmed by being forgetful with things. And I have graduate students that this applies to. I have physicians, I have nurses, I have teachers. I have guys that work at the GM auto plant. These symptoms tend to run true in our patients with adult ADHD.
So once you've actually thought about it, do you have any tips on how you can incorporate a more formal screening into our practice? We have so many conditions that we see and we think about that a lot of clinicians, I think, may be intimidated by adding another practice, another way to screen, and may just refer. How do you think we can do it better?
Yeah, so once you kind of get that tickle in your mind, hey, I think this may be ADHD. This person seems overwhelmed. They seem to have PDF. Then there's 18 symptoms that make the diagnosis for ADHD. And we have some very easy to use, user-friendly screening tools that take none of your time. The patient fills them out in the waiting room. You can have them go to a quiet office next door and fill it out. And then you just scan those 18 items on the ADHDRS or the ASRS and look to see, do they seem to have ADHD? So it does all the work for you. The reason I love that rating scale, it's kind of like having a blood pressure. When you see your patient, you know the number. And just like managing hypertension, it's a lot easier to manage things if you know the number. So you can download this scale. It's free. It was developed by the World Health Organization. It's translated into 38 languages. You can put it on your EMR system, or you can have a paper version. Let your patient fill it out, get the number, and then look to see, hey, do they seem to have a lot of these symptoms of ADHD that my gut hunch was yes, they do have it.
Sounds great. And I think you can even give the patient the screening tool if it's a, oh, by the way, as you're walking out the door and you think you should be doing, maybe just hand them the screening tool as they leave and say, drop this off or bring it back, but don't drop the ball and not screen.
I do that all the time. I'll say, hey, listen, you know, take this with you, fill it out, or in the waiting room before you leave, fill this out. Next time we're going to talk about this and see what we think's going on here.
I think this is awesome. And I remember so clearly a patient of mine who for years I was seeing, he would make me laugh so much every time I would see him, one story after the next of all the trials and tribulations. And then at one point it finally clicked that maybe I was missing something. And when I asked him to do a screening tool, because he may have ADHD, he confessed that he couldn't read, that he got passed through school year after year by being a joker, and he never learned how to read and then dropped out. And we did the screening tool together and recognized that he had it. And after I treated him a month later, he came back and he said, I wish somebody had done this for me years ago. Imagine where I could be. So it's truly passionate about it that we are making a difference.
Yeah, I 100% agree. And it's been amazing. You know, I've seen professional athletes who couldn't learn the playbook, but they'd gotten passed through school. I've seen moms who are trying to take care of their kids and they're trying to study with them when they have a hard time reading and focusing themselves, and they got passed through school. And like you said, a lot of our patients learn to compensate by acting like it either doesn't matter or they make jokes to kind of, you know, kind of humorize the whole thing. And they can be endearing. My ADHD patients are some of my favorite patients to take care of. But you can make an amazing difference in their life when you get them on the right track.
For everybody that's listening, if you're interested in learning more about what Greg and I are talking about, NACE has recorded a webcast of another lecture that we did, and it's available at our website, naceonline.com, along with this and lots of other content on ADHD and many other topics besides ADHD that we've produced as webcasts and monographs and other things that you can learn about. We're also on Facebook and putting out links to our content there. So if you're on Facebook, feel free to like us at NACE CME, and you can get more information as well.